want to leave plenty of time for our small groups. Life groups tonight are going to be on a kind of an activity basis, and I'll explain it in a little while so you understand what we'll be doing as a group activity. No preparations involved, no scriptures basically other than the foundational scripture that I'll share. But I want you to turn in your Bibles, please, to Jeremiah chapter 17. And we're going to start in Jeremiah chapter 17. It's our foundational scripture today. In lesson number 4, we're talking about developing good habits. This is part 1 of the series of developing good habits. And the first part that we'll be talking about tonight is communication skills. In Jeremiah 17, verse 7, and we'll start with that and then go and proceed to verse 8, it says, "Blessed is the man whose trust is in the Lord, whose confidence is in God. He shall be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought, and it never fails to bear fruit." Would you pray with me tonight? Because that's going to be our foundational scripture. Father God, we pray in Jesus' name, Father, that this word, Lord, would be planted into our heart tonight and it would yield 100-fold fruit, Lord. Father, we want desperately to be that person that puts his trust or her trust in you, and that in a time of drought, in a time of desperation, when the world is desperate, Father, our roots will grow down deep, and because we're going to be planted by the river of living water. And I believe that we're planted by the water, and that because we are planted by the water, the living water, that we will bear fruit even in a time of drought. We thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. This particular scripture has a lot of meaning if you study in Egypt, where this was actually probably the most relevant. You'll see a lot of trees that are right by the river, okay? And you kind of get an overview of this because when you're going and in that area of the country in Israel, there are many, many areas, bodies of water that have trees planted by them. And if you'll notice that those were the trees that were rooted, and those were the trees that really always got the nourishment that they needed. And so you can understand this scripture a lot better when you see things historically. And in fact, if you go into the Jewish culture, you'll see that so many of these little trees were planted by the water. And so that's why when God speaks about trusting in the Lord, our confidence is in the fact that no matter what time of year it was, they were always well-watered. And so it doesn't really matter what season it is in our life. It doesn't matter what season or circumstance goes on. If we're planted by the water, which is trusting in God and in his word, we won't wither. I love this. It has no worries in a time of drought and will never fail to bear fruit. Tonight we're going to talk to you about one very important thing that the Bible says is extremely important. It talks about good habits. Pastor Tom kind of mentioned it. He talked about it. He spoke about it on Sunday. But we're going to amplify this tonight. Everybody say amplify. Amplify. And we're going to make it amplified and talk specifically in a leadership standpoint. I'm talking to leaders tonight. I'm talking to ministers tonight. And I want you to get the feel of this message. It's that I want you to understand that you're going to be imparting this to other people so that they can become strong. Because no group of people can ever grow beyond the fact that they also impart their life into other people. Do you understand that? It's not all about one person or two people or a group of people necessarily doing all of the ministry. God wants a body of people doing the work of the ministry. That's always been his intention. From the foundation of the world, he wanted a body of people, a body of believers that were doing the ministry. And so one of the things that's the story that really is going to be a foundational story for all of you tonight, and it's a true story. It's a story about a beach in California, and this is a very interesting beach. People converge on this beach one time a year. And on this one day at this one beach in California, they have what's called a sandcastle contest. And thousands of people come from all over the United States and even the world to make sandcastles. And in this place, what they do is they have to start at 8:30 in the morning, and they only can go till 1:30 in the afternoon approximately, from 8:30 approximately to 1:30, because they have to start judging them between 1:30 and 4. And I'll explain to you the reason why. At about 4 o'clock, the tide comes in. And every single one of those sandcastles that took a lot of work to build are demolished. They're just totally cremated. They're wiped out because of the tide. And when Jesus spoke about the Word of God, he said this. He says, if we are to build our life, we must build it on the rock of the Word of God. Because if we don't, if we build our house on sand, similar to this situation, there's going to come a time where it'll get washed away. It will. The circumstances of life will always wash our lives away. And I think about this, you know, these creative people spending this certain small amount of time from 8:30 to 1:30 doing all this work to have it totally demolished. And I thought, well, that's kind of the way a lot of people in the world live. They spend their whole life building on something that's just going to fade away. And I thought, now, God, show us the revelation here tonight of what you want to speak to us. And he said this. He says, I want my church to be able to build good habits, the good habits based on the Word of God that will last forever. And you'll be like that tree. That tree that's planted by rivers of living water, that you'll always be giving forth fruit. It won't be just a one day, big old big bang, you know, and there you go. You'll always be bearing fruit. And it's because of the fact that we can build our lives on the Word of God that everything can change. And so based on that, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 16. And I'd like to bring this forth to you because we're talking tonight about developing good habits. The habit that is very, very important is to make sure that you're always communicating with God and always communicating with others. And so the best way that I know to do that is to build our life on the Word of God, to make, as Pastor Tom mentioned on Sunday morning, the Word of God. It's got to be in our heart. And not just once in a while. I mean, every day. How many of you read the Word of God every day and pray the Word of God every day? Okay, as leaders, that's to be expected. All right, there's no other way around it. Your life is just going to be a sandcastle unless the Word of God becomes preeminent and it becomes as natural to you as breathing, saying, I want the Word of God to be so powerful in me. All right, so number one, let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 16. And the only way to do that, the only way to let the Word of God dwell in you richly is to develop good habits. I mean, that's just the bottom end of it. Proverbs 16, verse 32 is this. Better a patient man than a warrior. Better a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. And that's an important scripture. Better is a man who controls his temper, or controls his emotions, or controls his passions. If you can control your passions, if you have a good habit of controlling your passions where maybe they just you want coconut cream pie every minute of the day, or you want to get and sleep in every hour of the morning and stay up really late at night and, you know, you never get any rest, whatever the case may be, if you can't control your passions, you won't be able to fulfill the destiny of your life. And so what I say is always this, you got to starve your bad habits and feed the good ones. Okay? Starve the bad habits and feed your good ones. Now, good habits, Pastor Tom began it on Sunday, reading the Word, praying the Word, digesting the Word of God. It's got to become a habit. It has to. It's something you do every day as a leader in the kingdom of God, whether you feel like it or not. And it doesn't have to be a long period of time. It just has to be something where you say, God, Your word is foundational to me. I'm going to take, you know, sometimes you think, well, I couldn't just take 5 minutes and read the word. Well, then, you know what? When I had a young child and a young baby, that's all the time I had for a little while. And you know what? God honored it. And I would like, it was amazing. I would open the Bible and it was like, wow, God was speaking to me right there. I just flip it open and start reading it. And I heard God talking to me. Now, I spent 5-10 minutes and I'd hear God and I'd know that he was speaking to me through the word and I'd be refreshed. But the fact remains is that just show up. That's so important to God. Just show up. Just show up every day. Say, hey, Lord, you mean more to me than anything. I'm showing up here. All right? And crack that Bible open. And remember this. Most studies of habitual behavior, and I'm quoting this right now. Most studies, this is number one on developing good habits. Most studies of habitual behavior indicate that a habit can be broken in 6 weeks. Any bad habit, anything, can be broken in 6 weeks. That's pretty cool, isn't it? That, I mean, to me, that's exciting. That in 6 weeks, if you got a bad habit, could be overeating, it could be an addiction of some sort, it could even just be a temper problem, or it could be a negativity or depression that you've got. Most studies show that it can be broken in 6 weeks. Now, some studies even tell us that you can break habits as little as 21 days. In 21 days. In fact, Dr. Caroline Leaf has tremendous good books out that I'm going to be really talking to you about from a leadership standpoint. It's called Developing the Gift Inside of You and How Every Person Thinks According to the Gift That's Within Them. Every person's thought patterns and their mind and the way they behave, they think according to the gift that's in them. And so we're going to talk about that in the coming Wednesdays in a little while. But keep in mind that if you can discipline yourself for a month or so and be willing to suffer through the pain of change, that's number three. If you can discipline yourself for about a month or so, it says some up to 6 weeks. It says if you can discipline yourself for a month or so, be willing to suffer through the pain, that word is pain, of change, you can rid yourself of negative behaviors. Anything. Now, successful people develop good habits. And 90% of our everyday behavior is based on our habits. That's what I found for me. It's based on our habits. If you starve your bad habits into submission and start nourishing some good habits, you're on your road to victory. It's number four. You can starve your bad habits into submission and start nourishing your good habits. And Jesus prayed this prayer, and I want you to memorize this because this is greatly important for your life. Jesus prayed this in the Lord's Prayer, and he taught us to pray it also. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us. Hallelujah. Deliver us from evil. Okay, how many of you can pray that prayer? Pray it every day. It's the Lord's Prayer. Why not pray it? Hey, what a better habit to have than simply praying the Lord's Prayer every day. And mean it with your heart. Our Father, who art in heaven. Or not art, you don't have to use Elizabethan. Our Father, you are in heaven. Your name is holy. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done this day on earth as it is in heaven. Now, what you're saying is you're saying, Lord, let my life be like heavenly. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what's in heaven? You're praying, whatever's in heaven, come to earth. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation. Let my paths, my steps avoid that. Let me not be led into temptation, but deliver me from all evil. I mean, wow, if you pray, Lord, deliver me from evil this day. And that's all you're praying. That's the most powerful prayer you could ever pray. And then for yours is the glory. Deliver me from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Now, declare this scripture every day. Also, Philippians 4, verse 13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you're struggling with addictions or battling with a temper, or maybe perhaps with something like impatience, or you're just living in mediocrity, that means you want more, but you feel like your life is a bit bored. Remember, God says, don't sit back and settle for what you can see. Don't just sit back. Declare every day, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All right? So that means if you're given to moodiness or depression or anxiety, remember, you know what? What a better thing to do than develop the habit of giving a compliment to someone. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But, you know, one of the most important habits to develop are good communication skills. I never underestimate the importance of communication. First of all, with God, and secondly, with people. Communication. It's a mark of a very successful leader, a very successful minister. One study reports that the average American spends 70% of his active hours communicating verbally. Okay? 70%. Now, this is a quote from President Gerald Ford. He says, "Nothing in life is more important than the ability to communicate effectively." And I'll have you know, this is something you probably understand, but liking people, okay? Just liking people. That simple thing, liking people is the ability, the beginning of the ability to communicate. Just liking people, all right? How many of you say, I like people. I like to be around people. Okay, all right. When you like to be around people, you'll be a good communicator, all right? So that's what I'm saying. So, okay, now if you didn't raise your hand because you don't like to be around people, then that's okay because we'll work on it tonight. Because that's what we're going to work on. Okay? Because this is the interesting thing. If you really want to be a good minister to others, you've got to like them. Yeah. It's really, really simple. When a person can sense if you really genuinely have a concern for them. As a minister, if you are a minister, and every one of you in here is a part of the body of Christ. We're all called to minister to people. And when a person can sense that you really have a concern for them, then they're willing to listen to what you have to say. If they sense that you really like them. All right? Poor communicators are those that are focused, and this is a number 8. Poor communicators are focused on themselves and their own opinions. All right. Good communicators actually have the ability to read body language. Have you ever been talking to someone and it looks like they could care less if they're there? I mean, it's like, you know, they're not even looking in your eyes. They're kind of looking past you, you know, kind of like maybe over your head or something, or winking at someone else, you know. Or if you're trying to talk to somebody and they can't read you, that you're ready to move on, and, you know, you're like going, you know, I got to go somewhere, you know, and they just kind of hang on you, you know, you're kind of like on the move, and you just sense that it's time to go and you're going to move on, but they don't sense that. It sends up a red flag, in fact, because you know this person's not really being sensitive to you. And really, when we're one-on-one with people, we need to be sensitive to the vibes. Okay, the vibes, the happenings, you know, the body language, you know, if someone's like going, you know, maybe they're sick or something, you know, don't just sit there and just, you know, agonize them, you know, preach at them, you know, and I go, you know, I'm just saying we've got a sense, you know, when somebody is not feeling right, you know, stop and say, well, are you okay? Or are you in a hurry? Or do you need to get somewhere? Nothing wrong with that. You know, instead of belaboring the point. So this thing called love, it is the most important thing, but it's the most ignored principle in the whole Bible. And it is actually the keynote scripture for tonight. It's in Matthew. And if you've got your scriptures, your Bible there, would you just turn with me to that scripture? And it's outlined in Matthew 22, verse 37 to 50. Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus gave us this command, basically was the only command he ever gave us in the Bible, but it has so much depth to it. In simplicity, it's so real to me. It's the greatest commandment. And Jesus said, hearing that, let's start in verse 34 of 22. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they got together. One of them, an expert of the law, tested him with the question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Every bit of the law and prophets hang on these two commandments." So if we're talking about communication skills, right here is where it's at. Right here. Love the Lord with all of your heart and love your neighbor. Okay? Now I'm going to give you some practical ways of communicating love. Practical ways of relating to people that really will show them value. Okay, this is what I want you to understand. Every person on this earth has tremendous value. And if we could see that, then we'll begin to like people more. All right? If you see how important every person is in God's plan, and you're able to just give that kind of dignity to people, they'll sense it, and they'll appreciate and like to hear from you. All right? Now, two major factors that contribute to good communication styles. Number one, this is practical stuff right now, but it's good. Break it down practically because it'll help you. Number one, good eye contact. When you really look in someone's eyes, it does tell them that you care. You look straight in their eyes, not past them, not around them, you know, not over their head or not down, you know, but look straight in their eyes. Because that is a mark of being able to be a good minister, is you can look someone straight in the eye. You have good eye contact. They know that you're looking into their soul. And number two, have a very warm smile. Smiles are probably more important than anything else. They have actually taken some studies of people on-the-job training of bosses and how they relate to their people. And a person who's a, like an understudy, and that, you know, you're talking about a boss relating to someone who is an employee, you know, they've studied that the approval that a boss gives someone through a warm smile or a compliment, it means more to them than a raise. Now, the reason is that, you know, a raise, that joy will last for a little while, okay? But if that person gives you a raise, but he's always on your case, you know, improve, and gives you a raise, and is a slave driver, you know, and you're like, "Oh, I got this money, but I don't have the love. I don't have the approval." What someone is really looking for is they're looking for approval. And it means more to most people than a raise. And I say that with a lot of dignity because, of course, in this hour that we live in, you'll appreciate a raise too. All right? But what I mean by that is sometimes employers can give you, or a boss can give you a raise because they want you to work harder or they want you to produce more. Or there's all kinds of reasons why people give raises. But when you have a warm smile, and when you have love in your heart, and when you have eye contact and communicate well, and this applies now over in the area of being a good minister, when you love people and you show them through your eye contact and your warmth of smile and through your communication skills that we'll talk about in just a second, it means so much. And so I'm just going to move here into the two important values to communication, and we'll list those, all right? What needs to be communicated to others is in Matthew 22, 37 to 40. They'll know we are Christians by our love, the Bible says. And they will know we are Christians by our love. Now, number one is love and loyalty to God and His Word. As a minister, and I'm speaking of in particular in the local church, as a minister in the local church, These are the two most important values to demonstrate, that you really love God and His Word more than anything in this world. You'll lay your life down, okay? And when they see that integrity, that you'll lay your life down for Jesus and really, you know, to love Him, serve Him, and that, you know, that's why when you walk into church, it's a grand witness to others that you're lifting your hands up, or, you know, you're dancing or you're clapping, because it's like they go, wow, they really love God. You know what I mean? They love God. They're excited about God. They're relating to God. And so that's why it's equally as important to communicate love to other people, and that's the second one, as it is to communicate love to God. So the second one is love and loyalty to others. All right? So when you're communicating your love and loyalty to God and His Word, there's all kinds of testimonies. You know, you can share your testimony about what God's done in your life with others. That shows that you love Him. You can share your revelation knowledge or your understanding of the Scriptures, and also demonstrate your prayer life to other people. You know, Daniel, he prayed every day at a certain time of day, and everybody saw him doing that. And he didn't do it, you know, so people would say, oh, he's so holy. You know, he did it because he really, really, really honored God. And he wanted people to see that he honored God, and as a testimony to the glory of God. And it witnessed to other people. It also got him into trouble. But it was a witness. And the second value equally as important is to love and show loyalty to other people. Now, this is best demonstrated through encouragement and affirmation. This world is extremely critical. And people in our society, I believe, are under-encouraged. I believe that there is so much criticism, there's so many negative influences, that the encouragement actually will result in empowerment to others. Empowerment, and in people's ability to try new and different things. So literally, encouragement is oxygen to the soul, and it's the primary way of being a great communicator. All right? How many of you love to praise God? That's literally encouraging God. You know what? When you praise the Lord, you're affirming God's goodness to Him. And He loves that. You know, not that God needs encouragement like, go God, you know. I'm talking about affirmation. God, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. You're affirming God. You're telling God, I love you, I praise you. All right? And that is so vitally important to God, because He loves it. And not only that, it shows and demonstrates to other people that you love God. So encouragement is oxygen to the soul. And encouragement will result in empowerment. And it also gives people that ability to, hey, I can make a mistake and it's okay. You know, I mean, when you have someone in your life, and especially you as a minister, and I'm directing my efforts right now to help develop every one of you to be the very best ministers that you could ever possibly be on this earth and in this church and in this world, all right? The very best way of doing that, the very best way, is telling someone and encouraging someone and affirming someone of who they are, of telling them they're valuable. They're so valuable. You know, I had something that happened to me just recently. I was over by Mom Wilkie, and Mom Wilkie is such a godly woman. She's so much in love with Jesus and wants God's will in her life. And she came to me, and she, you know, she was wanting to, you know, she's always wanting to love people, and she wanted particularly to give something away. And she said, well, you know, I've got these things over here, and, you know, I know that there's coming a time where I'm not going to be around, and I want to make sure that I'm doing my giving while it's living, so I'm knowing where it's going. and she said, would you like one of these rings? And she opened a box of rings that she had, and there was in this box of rings a very pretty ruby ring that I actually happen to be wearing right now, a ruby ring with some diamonds in it. And it was of high value. And I looked at this ring, and not only did it remind me and will forever remind me of Mom, when Mom ends up, who knows, in 10, 20 years, passing on, you know, right? I don't know. But anyway, that's what we believe. That's what we're hoping for. But anyway, she wanted to give this to me, and I'll always remember her value and the beautiful woman of faith that she is. And I think about that whenever I look at this, I think of how God values us. And I walk around throughout the day now looking at this, and every time I do, I say, God values every person in this earth, and he values me. You see, God values everyone. It's such a beautiful principle to really get in your spirit, because if you believe in people, if you really believe in them and communicate them that to other people, they'll rise to fulfill that belief. All right? So that's why encouragement is so important. Okay, it tells people that they're valuable. People will take on projects that they've never handled before, you know, that they didn't even think possible, because they know that you have encouraged them, that you tell them that they're of value and they can do something, you know, that they've never dreamed possible that they could do, and you tell them you can do it. If you believe in them, it gives them such a great honor. That's why having that praise from a boss is probably, like I said, so valuable, because the affirmation and the smile that you get from a boss means more to people than anything. And so the result of people really having this personal belief in themselves and in your love for them will make them venture out in wild ways. They'd be going, wow, I'm empowered. And let me tell you why. Let me explain it, okay? The Bible says empowerment. Empowerment operates in three different areas. I want you to take notes on this, and then we're going to empower others in just a few minutes in our life groups, okay? Empowerment operates in three areas. Number one, you give people opportunities, or in other words, open doors for them to use their gifts. All right? You give them an open door for them to use their gifts. Number two, you give them freedom to do things creatively. And that's important that you recognize that everybody does things a little bit different. Have you ever seen three cooks get along in the kitchen? I know we're holy around here, and it's okay, but you know what I'm saying. In the kitchen, Sue, you may have seen this before, someone saying, I do it this way, and I do it this way, and you do it this way, and you know, everybody's doing things a little differently. Well, the important thing is that we give people the freedom to be creative about how they do something. There's nothing more stifling than when you give somebody a job and say, do it, and then they got to do it in only the way that you know. And, you know, that may not be just the way that they do it, because every person is a little bit more creative about their style. I've recognized that throughout my years of cooking. My daughter cooks a little different than I do. She cleans up a little different. I cook a little bit different. I've got a different style. Everybody kind of cooks, and their style's different. And so the important thing is that you give people the freedom as a minister, empowering others that work with you or alongside of you or underneath you or however, if you're a group leader, okay, that you empower them to do things creatively. And then you also give them the security. This is important, the security of knowing that you'll back them up if they make a mistake. Really important. You give them the security that you'll back them up even if they make a mistake. That assures people that you'll do anything in your power to help them, and it provides a sense of security that, oh, I'm not going to like get out there on a limb and try something and then be rejected and you know, and spurned or shunned. You know, shunned. It's very important that we don't reject people when they're creatively being empowered. Empowerment in the local church is a very tricky thing, and I've learned this. It's a very tricky thing, and let me help you with this, because this is what we've learned, Pastor Tom and I, over the years. Empowerment in the local church, it's kind of like a balance. You have to balance your needs with the needs of the person that you're empowering. So you don't, you know, some people, we've seen this in the past, there was someone that was just could never say no. She worked in our staff and Wertha, she'd never say no. She'd never say no to anybody. Well, she ended up sick and down and, you know, I mean, you know, she was really, really sick because she let everybody walk all over her. And, you know, with an intense heart of love, but it wasn't wisdom that sometimes she used. And we can't let people walk over us. We've got to take some time, like, hey, you're on the airplane, right? What do they say? Put the mask on first. Put it over yourself so you can take care of your children. All right? So there's a wisdom involved. Put it on yourself. Use self-care so that you can take care of other people. There's some days where I wake up and I say, this is a Lori day. All right? This is a Lori day. I know when my body is getting stretched and I know when I can't handle something. I said, this is a Lori day. So take some time for what's called self-care. Usually that entails reading the Word, soaking in the presence of God with worship, taking some time for restoration, some recreation, whatever, okay? Very important. And when you're balancing your needs with the needs of the person you're empowering, and also you're keeping in mind the vision of the church all the time, because every church has a vision. And what I've learned is that if you're working with someone who has very, very creative ideas, you know, this has happened in our church sometimes. Somebody comes, they have really creative ideas. Oh, this is really good. This is really good. But this is going to cost you $500. Well, okay. Or, you know, even a little bit of money. You know, this is going to cost you $70. You know, I've got a creative idea, but would it cost the church a lot of money? And so we need to reconsider this vision. All right. And so it all ties in with the vision of the church. Or you got a creative idea, but how does that line up with the philosophy of ministry in the church? Is this going to work out? Is this going to work out with other people on your team? There's all kinds of factors involved. And so I call this the rope principle. You need to balance the development of a person with the good of the church, always. With the good of the church, the vision of the church. So you give people enough rope to allow them to do a good job, but not to hang themselves. Okay? Or anybody else. So you, and the best way you do this is you give someone enough rope to learn. You do this by waiting. Mentors are patient people. You've got to be patient when you're working with others. You just let them try to experiment a little bit. You wait a little longer, so you may prefer them. Everybody always prefers to get the job done like this, right? Okay, let's get this job done tomorrow, you know, and it's done. But when you learn how to work with people, you've got to learn that a minister needs to be developed in the process, and so you never let them have a rope go so long that it will hurt the church. But you let them have enough rope so that they can develop themselves as a person. Okay? And that's important. You need that. The key there is, like I said, encouragement. With God, all things are possible. Now, I'm going to close with this last thing, and then we're going to wind up here. Do you know that bumblebees, small little bumblebees, they're cute, aren't they? Aerodynamically, they're not supposed to be able to fly. They just can't. The physics of a bumblebee says no way, but it does. Why? Because with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Now, I want to give God honor and glory in closing right now, is just to let you know this. I wouldn't be who I am without the encouragement of my husband and my daughter. There have been so many times in my life where I look at my husband and he's the one that's been there to say, okay, Lori, you go for it. Preach, teach, you know, love people, do what you're good at doing. I give you liberty. I open the door. He's let me do so many things that most people would say, this is taboo. But he's believed in me. He's let me write books, 2 books. He's let me, you know, sing and record CDs. And he's just, he really believes in me. And I believe in him. But I want to honor him by telling him thank you, because it's because of his belief in me that I know that I've been able to accomplish and have been empowered. I've had some rope given to me to learn. And my daughter, I mean, this woman she's a young woman. She's so filled with faith. She'll come alongside of me and say, Mom, that was an awesome message. You know, how many young ladies her age would be saying, yay, yay, go, Mom, preach, you know, and, you know, be helping me in the back making some of my food, making turkey burgers. She made me my turkey burger tonight. You know, she made me some yams. I love yams. I had to have yams before I came because it helps me preach better. Sweet potatoes. Love sweet potatoes. And she knows it, so she'll make me sweet potatoes. And not only that, she's sweet. She's a sweet person. And when I go home, she'll be like saying, Mom, you know, I love you. You know, you really bless my life. She's like a Ruth to me. And a Naomi, you know. Maybe if I get a little bit bitter, she just sweetens me up a little bit. But she's really, really, really sweet. And she's kind. You know, when I go home, she'll be, you know, Mom, can I make you some salmon tonight? I know it's your favorite, you know. And then she cleans the kitchen up and makes it all tidy. And she, not only to boot, she helps me with the youth. She works in the children's ministry and helps the kids. She loves working with the teens. So she's not only gifted at home, but she loves helping serve the kids. And the best part about it is I think she'd rather see me succeed than her. And it hurts. Something's in her heart to just be unselfish. And so I have to say that because of these people in my life, I am who I am, and I can do what I can do. And I heard somebody say complimenting each other is the glue that holds relationships together. And so let's write that down. Complimenting one another is the glue that holds relationships together. Because with so many things working against good relationships now and day, it's amazing what a kind word can do. So remember this, bring out the best in people. And think good thoughts, but also thoughts aren't going to do you any good if you're just sitting there thinking, oh, they're so nice, you know, they look so cute, you know, they have a nice outfit today, you know, I love Matilda's hair, you know, and I'm thinking, man, her haircut's really cute, you know, but you never tell her. Yeah, tell them, open the mouth, open it up and speak. That's so vital. And so tonight, what we're going to do is bring the best out in each other. And we're going to open up our groups tonight, our life groups, to do what this scripture says. Let's take a look at this keynote scripture, Acts 20:32. It says, now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up, and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. What does that mean? That means that we need to speak good things over other people. Complimenting one another is the key to good communication. So tonight, let's split up into our groups. Okay, the groups that we've got existing are those that we already have. And then with Glenn and Wilma's group, there is Joan and Bunny and her family members here tonight. Francine will be included in that. And then Gary and Rosemary. Your group will be the Northway family included. And, yes, Pastor Tom.
The upper.
Absolutely. And then Bill and Sue and Patrick's group, we'll see if it is Dawn here, Lori here. I'm not sure about that, if anybody's here. The rest of the groups, the ladies' groups, actually, if you'd like to just